All right, it's that time. It's time for Beyond Sight and Sound. Let's do this.
S&W Shooters and Prospectors. What is S&W Shooters and Prospectors?
We at S&W Shooters and Prospectors help people find treasure.
Did you say treasure?
Yes, treasure. Just listen to this amazing review from our happy customer, Jackie Sparrow.
Error, chocolate ship shape, and a pleasure to deal with. I was able to buy everything that I needed at prices that were shillings less than others. I found my 9 pieces of 8 in no time. Savvy?
I know you're asking yourself, why should I shop at S&W Shooter and Prospectors?
Chuck Smalley has over 45 years of metal detecting experience. He works with each customer one-on-one to customize their setup to match their skill level.
So if you always dreamt of being a pirate, contact Chuck at S&W Shooters and Prospectors, and he'll take a great deal for you.
High passion rum not included.
Caution. Please do not operate motor vehicles or power equipment while under the influence of this show. Listening to this show could cause side effects such as bouts of laughter, violent binges of cabin fever, and even dreams of silver and gold. Please be advised. Now that the fine print is out of the way, on with the show.
All right. We're back. We're live. Once again. Oh, let's see here. We're getting things set up. We'll have Chuck in here in a minute. I don't know. I had a little something go on the other day. I had had a knob get bumped. Hopefully the audio is not over the top or too quiet for that matter. I don't know. I know pre-show, it sounded like everything was okay. Chuck could hear me just fine. I could hear him just fine. So I think I've got it right there about where it needs to be. So we'll see what happens. So hopefully that all works out. I don't know. And obviously we've got Chuck back. How is it going?
It's going. It's been going, been busy. Very busy, in fact. But hi, everybody. See all the Bills in the house. Brandon's in. Shannon. Ian.
Oh, yeah. Dan. Everybody's dropping in. Good grief.
Yeah, we're filling up rapidly. So.
It's nice to see, though. Always nice to see.
Yeah, full house. So,
yeah, Scott McFlurry, Tom.
Yeah, Scotty's in there. How you doing, buddy? Tom Kingery.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, we did get to touch on it a little bit, but we didn't get to touch on it a whole lot since, Wednesday, Jason was on to discuss some of his experiences in the hobby and everything, which, wow, good time. I mean, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did. Tell Jason his t-shirts are on the way, so. They're all packed up. I got them packed up. I've been deep in taxes and then many fire calls because people don't understand 30-mile-hour winds, a match, and dry fields.
Ta-da. Right. Yeah. It doesn't take a whole lot to... Common sense should really go a lot further than it does anymore. Right. Yeah. Darwin is losing. Oh.
Shannon, Shannon asked me, did the wind blow us away? Yeah, we're in the 40-mile-an-hour gust range at times, 35 to 40.
Yeah. I had to share. Normally, I don't do that a lot, but I had to share a meme the other day that had Kermit the Frog that said, whoever's holding Mother Nature's beer while she does all four seasons in 24 hours, dump it out. She's already drunk.
There you go.
And it's true.
We're talking some rain coming in here.
Yeah.
We could use it because literally I went out and got a detect for a few hours the other day, met up with Frank, hitting a field, and it's bone dry and hard. But I wanted to take the 8-inch over and put it to work.
Yeah.
The upper part of the field's trashy, really trashy. And
good scenario for that 8-inch coil.
I put it to work in there and I pulled up a couple wheats and a token and a few other odds and ends out of the trash that you can run that big coil over it and slow way down and generally pick up something. But the 8-inch, I just marched along. I had the speed setting at a 4 and just went after it and it did all right.
What hump pattern were you running in that?
Field.
Okay.
General field. So that's what I've been running it in when I'm out in that particular field all the time. I did switch over to a park setting, but the general hunting setting, and the field gives me a little broader range, I think, on what I'm listening to.
Oh, I see. Maybe opens the discrimination up a little more.
Yeah. Now I know Dennis's got the 8-inch. Frank's got the 8-inch. I had several come in, they're all gone. And
right. Well, I can see that being a very popular coil for that machine. I mean,
they did well in the water.
I'll be the first to admit, yes, you can work the trashy areas with a large coil. I've done it. You've done it. You just got to slow down and work your coil. But that 8-inch would be a nice sharpshooter in the trash because you're still getting comparable depth compared to a stock coil anymore.
Yes. So the one wheat was down about 8.5 inches. The other was a little shallower than that. But the token, it's a square farm token, it was down there a good 11 inches. And it's, it's square and about the size of a little better than a quarter. And it banged it
right
hard.
Yeah, about I'm gonna have to guess probably like an inch and a half by inch and a half square.
Yep.
I've seen those style before, them square tokens, and yeah, if they're coated in dirt pretty good, you just about think they're a piece of say cut flashing or something.
Yep. Shannon said her stock Knox does just fine, and it should. They're a good detector. But Dennis is stating
yes, they are. They're still a very good machine.
Yes, it is. And I use it on the beaches down there in Aruba specifically because of the amount of trash and in the water even. And lots of
yeah.
And it did a fine job for me. So I was very happy with that.
Yeah, I'll bet down there in Aruba, especially on those beaches, it's probably a carpet of bottle caps.
Oh man. I know Atlantic City, the crowds and that kind of stuff, but this time of year it was like that. I mean, it was just their elbow to elbow out there. It's huge. And this beach.
Yeah, didn't you say that when you were down there, they have some sort of festival that's similar to our Mardi Gras?
Their Mardi Gras was going on. We got there for the last 2 days of it. That ended. And the diamond merchants have their annual convention in Aruba from around the world. And the big companies are there trading and buying and this kind of stuff. They stay down at the Ritz and another place. I've never seen an area with that many jewelry stores. I'm serious.
Right.
Ships are rolling in.
That sounds like a tough place to go and have a convention. I don't know why they didn't pick somewhere warmer.
Yeah, they had just left. So all that was going on. They do a bunch of stuff down there and it's a busy, busy place. So you go out early and get off early because it gets quite warm. And basically it's not so much due to the warmth as it is
quite busy.
And quite busy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine, especially for the time that you were there with having Mardi Gras plus this Diamond Merchant Convention, Aruba's a tourist place anyway.
The Mecca.
But now you're just packing that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess Sunday you had showed off a few of the items that you had found in Aruba, and a lot of those surpieces, I guess, were found with the 8-inch coil.
90% was 8-inch.
Was that just like, say you're going through, you're working these trashy areas, all of these bottle caps all around and everything? Did the tone sound different, or
just the range of tones? If you were
numbers in the bottle caps, or what was prompted?
Yes. The bottle caps had a variety of tones, really did, because some are heavy plated in zinc and they're foreign made versus, I could tell the difference between Heineken, Corona, and the local brew down there, Balashi beer. They all three gave a different tone and signal.
You dug a lot of bottle caps while you were there.
Yeah. After the third day, I really did, because the way they hit, the way they looked on the screen on the Catacore, you had it figured out and it went very well. The range of some of the small gold was from like 7 and 8 up. They had found a big hoop earring and it's gold. And, It was a broken signal, but it gave me this oddball shaping, and the tone on that was a mid-range, and not quite mid-range, a little lower. Dug that. Small post earrings. I got a couple little ones. They aren't marked, so I can't say they're gold, but they're tiny. Boy, banged them. And I got several of the earring backs. And bang them too. And they're a pain in the butt to find.
Oh yeah, they are. So I mean, there was no problem. The 8-inch coil was definitely seeing the small stuff.
Right. It's no problem on coins or big stuff. I was working, there was a lot of broken dead coral in the area, and get out there when the waves didn't throw me back up on the beach, get out in there and get a signal to get it up out of there. And I got three rings out of coral, but none of them were high dollar in any way, shape or form. The one is nice. It's a good ring, but the other two, one's stainless and I don't know what the other one's made out of.
I see. Well, still, I mean, we all know that there are many, many more pieces of bling and costume and junk jewelry out there than there are the good ones to find. Yep. So yep. It kind of comes with the territory. I mean, still better than a bottle cap, I guess.
Yeah. I've got one ring I found. It's rusted on the outside, but you see the hearts and the marks on the other side, and it's like, wonder how long it took to get that way. I think it was stainless.
Huh. Wow. Yeah, it had probably been there for a while. I mean, mm-hmm. You know how it is with the beaches. The environment is constantly changing.
Constantly changing. And the other guys with me want to get a nice gold ring, or we get silver and that kind of stuff. And it was a good trip. It was good hunting.
It sounds like not only did you do well, but everyone else did well too. Everybody made
No, we didn't get wealthy over it, but the beach had some of our money. How's that?
Well, you know, you had a heck of an environment to deal with, and you couldn't beat the view from the office.
Nope. It was nice. I recommend to take a nice trip. That's a good trip. There's a lot to do down there and have fun. You can get a little beach hunting in the mornings. Afternoons, we generally kicked back, had lunch, sat around a pool and relaxed. Or we went downtown a couple times or a couple of times, and we scuba'd, we snorkel, we went downtown, went shopping. The girls were dragging me around the one night. I did that reel on them. Yep, it was time to go shop. Oh, my God. It's a good time.
Yeah, I bet that kept you hopping.
Yep. Hey, we're going in here. You want to come in?
That's all right.
I'll wait for you outside. I'll pass. So it's a good time, and 8-inch performed well. Oh, Dennis. And I don't know if Dennis tried that 8-inch in a field yet or not. He was hunting the fields. He got a 2-cent piece. I don't know what all else he got. I didn't know if he did it with the 8-inch or not. So maybe he's listening in. He's been on.
Yeah, I don't know if he.
Tell us.
Yeah, I don't remember if he did that with the large the stock coil or if he did that with the 8-inch coil, but he was doing well. Steve Pacifico's in and Jason's in as well. Jason, your shirts are packaged up and ready to go your direction.
Yep. So you'll have t-shirts to wear.
Right. And again, good job, Jason.
I had one good day. Out about waist deep and I'm trying to recover something. I look to my right and I see something floating by kind of in the water. And I looked at it and the sun was hitting there. So I turned, it was a $20 bill. Hey, I'll pick up 20 bucks anytime.
Not on the top of the water, not down on the sand either, but what do you think about 4 inches into the water?
Yeah, something like that. I made a grab. I missed it the first time. Then I had to go back and find my target. And it wasn't worth as much as the 20, believe me. but it was fun.
Well, at least you didn't miss the 20 then.
I walked up to Ron and told him, he said, "You always carry cash." I said, "That's on the inside pocket. This was on." So I showed him, "Oh, you did? You found 20 bucks. I said, "It's floating in the water. I don't know if it blew off one of the piers or what."
Right. Had fun.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely go back.
Right place, right time.
Okay. Dennis just stated he used that. He used the stock coil to find the two cent piece. So if you got
one to be proud of.
Yeah. If you got a junky spot in one of those fields, I'd recommend take that 8-inch out there and get in between that stuff. That's right, yeah. Steve. He is 20.
That 8-inch coil too would be killer in those trashy park scenarios.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a spot to take it as soon as I get a little rain on it, believe it or not.
I'm sure you do. I mean, I'm thinking one of those areas you may recall. That's been a few years back now. I believe you were running the Nocta Impact.
Yes.
At that trashy area. And you would, I don't know now, it was either a gold ring or a class ring, I think.
It was gold.
Pulled up.
Yep. I turned it on, went out, and it's so heavy trash in that particular area. And it's an older area. And it picked up that nice class ring, 14 karat.
Yeah, that might be a good spot to run that 8-inch coil through on. Because you were running a small coil on that impact, too.
It was. I like the small coils in those particular areas because there's so much that gets missed. Slow down and hunt it good and... Yeah, we'll go that way with it.
Right. And especially if it's, say, an old park or fairgrounds, some sort of scenario like that that's been there for years, that's years and years of occupation, activity, and trash that those small shooter coils, especially now with having comparable depth to the stock coil, they're really shining in those areas.
Yep. And tight spots along fence lines and buildings and things like that, they do very well too. So what's the word?
Good
what's
point.
What's the word on the big silver giveaway? What's happening there?
We've had people entering and there's still time that they can enter. They have to go back to the 2/25/24 live stream. It says launch of the Silver Stack giveaway. It's got a thumbnail up there of, I believe I changed that to where it shows all four. Maybe it shows three of the four, but it's got a thumbnail up there of the silver coins. They can go in, leave a comment on that one. Any sort of comment, as long as, you know, we got to keep it clean, keep it fashionable, you know,
yeah.
But it has to contain the words Silver Stack. Now you can do the comment however you want, but it has to have the words Silver Stack in it. And, that'll get themselves entered. We'll let that run up to the 9th. That I was going to cut that off and announce the winner on the 10th. And speaking of the Silver Stack giveaway, that's courtesy of Mike Lacomet, Metal Detecting Central Illinois. And people are going to want to stay tuned. I think Mike's going to drop a little hint or two in the chat tonight about a contest that he's going to be doing.
Oh, who's that, Dennis? So,
yeah, you know how? No, Mike.
Mike. Oh, Mike, excuse me.
And you know how he is.
Uh-huh.
He's pretty sneaky sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta listen to him a little bit. Sometimes he hides things. in his comments.
Right. Yeah. And Jason says, Chuck, that's a sharp looking vest you're wearing tonight. That's one of the Mind Lab vests there.
Yeah, it's one of the older Mind Lab vests. And I don't even know if you can get these anymore.
I don't think you can.
I don't think so.
Because let's see here. That looks like the regular one, though. That's not the lined one, is it?
Yeah, this is lined.
Okay. That's what I thought at first. But yeah, they're comfortable. They keep you warm too.
Yeah, I've got the other vest that it was a real nice vest with all the pouches and stuff on it from my lab years ago, and shirts and
all
kinds of swag. Now they just don't do that much.
Nope. I can remember trying to get a hold of one of the older Mind Lab vests with all the pockets in it. Them things were like trying to find hen's teeth.
Yep. So, nope. Hopefully everybody can get out. This weather that's coming through is pretty nice now. And Dennis states, you can if you... You can get them from Australia for about $300 used.
Yeah, that's a little out of my price range.
Yep.
Aside from being a little out of my price range, that's a little extravagant for a vest.
Yep. I see Frank made it in tonight. He's asking if he wants.
Yeah, he's in there too.
Yeah.
Yes, you won, Frank. You won a chunk of wood. And the beauty of it is it's already there. It's already at your house.
It looked like they had a pretty good time at Florida Hunt 10 too.
Oh yeah, they did. Definitely they did. And there were, well, as you know, with many different seated events, there were not a whole lot, but there were a few prize tokens that were not found.
No.
Yeah. So they did have a good time. I'm trying to remember the total amount raised. Escapes me right offhand. Frank may be able to throw it in the chat. I hate to even try to take a stab at it for fear of being wrong, but I want to say it was somewhere possibly over 30,000.
Good.
It might have been just over 20,000, though. I honestly, it escapes me.
I never saw the number. Jason, they used to make them. I've got a couple of those My Lab shirts that were the SPF 45s. They're long sleeve, but they're cool. You don't get hot at them. They're for the Aussie market, and they had them over here, and the Chicago group gave me a couple of them at that time. Still got them.
I did not have one of those, but I did hear from a number of people that they were quite comfy. Nice shirts.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So when I was running around for my lab, they generally kept me in shirts and hats and vest,
right,
the stuff. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure you were repping the logo properly.
Well, the I&I Club actually started turning down hats from me. I bring in leftover hats and hand them out there. They said, get them out. They all said, I got two or I got three. Of course, the hat color and the style has changed, and they've had
right.
digital camo and the slate gray and some other ones out there now. But
wow, I have not seen any of those, I don't believe.
Oh, the digital camo, I don't know if I got one in here or not. They're pretty decent hat.
Yeah, I'll bet those would be pretty sharp. Definitely. That wouldn't be bad at all.
They've been passing out for the guys that get involved with the shootout there, the Mine Lab hunt. Frank, they got a bunch of swag that's kind of specific to that.
Right.
And of course, Garrett is still great with the swag and taking care of people.
Very good point. Yes, you are correct. Usually Garrett's got plenty of swag to go around, where some of the other manufacturers, it's the well's kind of dried up a little bit, so to speak.
Yep. It's expensive now.
Yeah. I mean, every now and then they're still good about it, but sometimes it can be kind of hit and miss.
Right.
Where usually Garrett, they're always good.
Doing something, you can, you know, the kids and that, they give out hats, they give out different things when Deb's on site.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that has a lot to do with it sometimes is, sometimes they seem to be a little more loose with the swag if Debbie's around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're right, Ian, they do.
I get it though. I mean, times are tough for everybody, and I Nokta, there's another one. They've always been good with the swag too.
Hats. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, they're good with it too. So
yeah, Frank's probably got a truckload of Nokta hats. I mean, yeah. They're usually all over the place, but they do very well with the swag, and Delec, she's usually got all the Nokta representatives, you know, handing out swag pretty freely.
Oh. And I heard that, Frank. Mine Lab had no swag at Florida Hunt because they never showed up and they were supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that. That was unfortunate, and quite frankly, it doesn't look very good on the companies sometimes when things like that happen. Granted, sometimes it's out of their control.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if that one was a controllable circumstance or not. I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know all of the ins and outs and the other details about it, but you know, it may have been controllable. It may not have been controllable.
Hey, Scott McClory asked me, why were they a no-show? I was told the gentleman that was supposed to come down fell ill. That's all I know.
Yeah, I believe he came down with, well, what I heard was Debbie was originally supposed to be there.
Right.
But then she got pulled another direction. Someone else was going to be sent in her place. That gentleman came down with COVID, I believe. But I'm not sure.
Fired. So it is what it is.
Yeah. But the gang there at Florida Hunt 10.
That's story number 4. So speculation, it sounded like on this.
Yeah, it and I have. I've heard a few different versions or scenarios on what exactly went down. But there again, like I said, I wasn't in attendance, so I can't really speak with authority one way or the other on how it went down or what the exact cause was. But there are a few stories going around. It still doesn't change the fact that it was unfortunate, but they still made it through and still put on a good event. And it sounds like everyone was very happy with not only the turnout and the way things went, but also the funds that were raised for Soldiers Freedom Outdoors.
The whole point. That's the whole point of it anyway. So, and Frank, did you get any of the orange bags from NUTCA?
I was supposed to bring a stack of them back from Galesburg, and I wound up, I didn't get the chance to catch up with Barack and get those for the show, but that's all right. I'll catch them on some other
fresh stuff for the shop to pull up on the Legend 2 and that, and they sent it to me, and then it was all in this box. It was DHL. Opened it up, and I think there was about 250 of the bags with a hat each in it last fall, and I doled them out everywhere I could, and a local group
and
here
still had a pile of them.
Has a fishing derby for the kids, and they're sponsored through the R&R shop. So I said, "Go ahead," and I said, "How many kids you usually get?" She said 50, so I gave them enough to cover all the kids, and then the rest have trickled out before Christmas and through the winter. And but my nice. God, I never seen a box full of them like that. My goodness.
Oh, I know. I mean, when they send those out, they send them out, like you said, by the box. And these are full, packed full of these bags. They're just all over the place.
Yeah. And Barb, you are right. Deb went to Digstock.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna. Yeah, that's another. There again, I wasn't there, so I can't speak with any authority one way or the other, but that's what I hear.
Right.
And I'll just leave it at that.
There we go. That's all we can do. That's all we can.
I mean, whether it looks bad, whether it looks good, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I still like to, within reason, try to stay within the good graces of the manufacturer's representatives.
Right. Right.
Unless there's a very good reason, and there have been reasons in the past.
Well, I was told, but, Frank, that my detexpert John was there, and he wasn't very happy with my lab not showing up. So, oh boy.
John, yeah.
He probably won't
do
much of that.
Right. And at least in that respect, you know, right, you're kind of at least getting it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I mean, John was there.
Yep. I talked with him.
Yeah, I was sure when I was hearing the stories starting to go around, I was sure that you had already heard about it too. I mean, not much goes on like that that we don't catch wind of somehow.
No. I saw a video Garrett put up, Chase Robinson and the folks going out hunting that won the free hunt with him. They were going out in fields, but I haven't seen any more of it.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, that was up the other day. And let's see, Garrett's coming out with a new detector. Not much out about it yet.
Right.
Just
they're up to something, though.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. And like I said, I had mentioned last year, we were going to be seeing something from Garrett soon. Mm. I figured by the end of the year. So I missed the window a little bit.
And they're calling it a storm. I was just going to say that, Frank, but yeah, it's called a storm. There's not much out yep. there. Ronnie and I are talking about a little bit, and we don't know enough yet to say much. All I'd said that Al Ronnie said, he said, KG and Ringy were wearing hats that said the storm on it down at Florida Hunt 10, but they kept telling everybody they didn't know anything.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's another thing that we're seeing from the manufacturers, especially in, say, the past 2.5 years, is that even though that innovation is still there and that technological race and competition is still on, they're being more and more tight-lipped about things and keeping it closer to the vest until they get very close to the release.
Yep. Yep. I see, let's see, Barkslot's in here. Kevin Barkley. What's up?
Yeah, Kevin.
I see that your son is still kind of kicking your butt, bud.
He's on fire, tearing it up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Real good day with that Manticore the other day. So you got to get out and hunt harder, Kevin.
Yeah. He's
hot.
I'm sure, though, that I'm sure that Kevin's proud of the way he's doing, and his Kevin, boy, that he ought to be really thrilled with himself.
So that was a trade token he got, Canadian, huh? It was hard to see. 1834, pretty cool.
Nice.
That's nice. Yeah. He had a large scent, flying eagle scent, seeded coins, 2 cent pieces. He was tearing it up with that Manticore. Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's got the real big coil and the stock coil. Does he not, Kevin? I just wondered which one he was using.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know. I mean, he was doing good with his finds. Neo Geo in the house. He got himself entered into the Silver Stack giveaway.
Cool. Clay's
looks like Dennis is saying he's running the stock.
In the crowd, isn't he, Kevin? He just hardly says anything when he's out there. Just Mark said he was
running the stock coil.
Yeah, he's a good hunter. So
yeah,
that's cool.
That's good though, and. I'm sure many of the viewers in the chat, I've told people before, if I had any regret at all about the hobby, it would be that I didn't start earlier. And I've got a number of years in the hobby myself, but good grief. With Kevin's son starting out like that, he's got a lifetime of adventures ahead.
Those two boys are pretty good kids that run around. We need more of them.
Right.
I don't worry about them two. You just got to watch Kevin.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, those are, I mean, some of those finds, there are people that they've been in the hobby for decades and not made finds that nice.
And Kevin says Clay's been doing it since he was 4.
That's a young start.
Yeah.
That's a young start. Yeah. But he's under good guidance and tutelage, and he'll grow into the hobby and be very, very knowledgeable.
He already is. He's
in
doing
the future for sure.
Yeah. The whole group, Kevin too.
Right.
Got it. That can't be. You're saying that he's 21 now, Kevin? Oh my God.
Oh, so he's almost got 20 years in himself. Where does the time go? Of course, that's what Kevin's saying, probably.
Well, I don't know. Barks, how long we've been running around a little bit together there. I think he and I'll bet he was 8 or 9. 10 somewhere. So, I don't know. I'm knowing him.
You're looking at probably 10, 12, 13 years now.
Yeah. They're going to have to be our diggers, Kevin. They're going to have to dig for us. That's all I say there.
Right. Yeah. Once the back is sore or the knees are aching or something like that, you can still continue saying, here you go, there's a target. Dig that one up for me.
That's right. So
then if you get that bottle cap, you can say, you know what? You can keep that one for yourself. Thanks for all the hard work.
Thanks for the hard work. Talk to you later. Thanks for the warning.
They might not be real happy with that, but no, I'm sure they're very, very good hunters out there in the field. They definitely got their mind wrapped around it and know what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah.
Shannon says 2 days of digging took a toll. She's taking Tylenol. I use glucosamine, Shannon. Works pretty good.
Yeah, unfortunately, so do I.
Yep. Man, Neo Geo, that sign's staying there too. Right up to
a compliment, huh?
Oh, yeah, they like the sign.
Yep. So do I. So do I.
Oh boy, Emery Clay. You take a look at those videos, guys. If you get a chance, Bark's detecting bits. Generally, the boys are keeping him running around taking pictures of them finding something. When he finally gets something, you know.
Sounds almost kind of like quarter hoarder video.
Yep. Yep.
Jason's so busy running around and getting everybody else on camera finding stuff that he doesn't get much time finding stuff, it seems like. But he still does well.
Yep. Good group.
And that's the beauty of hanging out here on YouTube is the viewers, they can see Kevin's name in the chat there, the Bark's Detecting, and click on it and go right over to his channel, check out his videos, subscribe, like, comment, anything like that, just by clicking on the name.
Yeah. What's the date of the Chicago Dig Fest? Anybody know?
I want to say, don't quote me, but I think John was in here earlier, but I want to say I thought he said something about September 13th through the 15th, maybe.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
I may have a scheduling problem there. I'm going to have to check it out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Uh-oh. So we'll see. But I'm going to donate to them because those guys, that's a good crew too.
They do a good job. They put on a good event. And
Ramoska yesterday called me and we had a nice chat.
I'm thinking that I shared the flyer for the Dig Fest a few weeks back, actually. Maybe in the Beyond Sight and Sound group, it might be on the Beyond Sight and Sound page. I can try to look around and find some, maybe I can find some further clarification on those dates.
Actually, they had moved me around in the England hunts for the fall, and now they've settled me down in September 1. So that I may have to miss Dig Fest.
Well, that could be subject to change too. It seems like you've been being bounced around like a ping pong ball with that.
Well, it never fails. Somebody wants to, hey, if you got another opening, I want to bring a buddy, or my wife decided she wants to come and he'll call me. I'm moving you. I said, that's fine. But at some point I'm going to order tickets and that's where we're going to be, you know,
right. Party. And at that point, you're not moving me.
Table. Right. I saw that, Scott.
Yeah, we need to get that to level out so that I can get the tickets ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin says he'll run my tent. So. Oh, my God. put Frank and him together in there, and it'd be a good tent.
There'd be right?
A lot more talking.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. But yeah, I will. I don't know. I'll go back and look and see if I did, because it seems to me I shared the flyer somewhere, and I'll go back and see if I can find that. And if I can, I'll post it back up again. If I can't, I'll try to get some further clarification on the exact dates, and I can let everybody know Wednesday.
Okay.
I would think I should be able to find out by then, but I'm, for some reason, the date spread of September 13th to the 15th sticks right in my head.
I encourage everybody to back up our clubs out here. Go to their huts. So.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They put on a very good event, and I mean, when it comes to seeding a field, beach, whatever, they are totally transparent. I mean, you want to know what's being seeded, you can walk up to the table and see the bags that are going to be seeded.
110%. Everything goes out, and they got some neat stuff. I enjoy their hunt. I enjoy their hunt. Good people. Yeah,
I like the way they've got that all set up, and I can't remember now. I know there was a post the other day that I had shared. It's either this September or next year. They're getting away from the beach.
Yes, they're going to a Boy Scout camp.
Yeah, that was abandoned in 1944, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah. That just sounds like a great spot. Going to be a lot of nice finds made there. You know that.
Right. No, Boy Scout camps are great. Girl Scout and Boy Scout both. If they you are, and a lot of them haven't been. And of course, the culture has changed over the years. They renovate, change, move things in those camps. So stuff scattered pretty well.
Yeah.
And Casey's done good getting some of the campsites, and that's fun.
Oh yeah.
And the early ones you'll get barber, and some of them have old farmsteads. You can get much older too.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually, well, at least with the older camps like that, it's usually there's no problem at all coming up with a couple of, say, Boy Scout tokens or a nice Boy Scout ring or one of the nice old neckerchief slides. Usually they're good for stuff like that. And those are always cool finds to make.
Boy Scout, there's a lot of the silver rings with almost each class on it from first class up. And I've seen some pretty nice stuff.
Oh yeah.
Found some good ones too. I got several of the silver ones with first class. I've got an eagle pin, and that was 14 karat. That's an old one.
Oh, nice.
I've got that in my display case. So nice. They're a nice big pin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one to be proud of for sure.
And that was found at the camp in Iowa on one of Casey's hunts.
Nice. And now, I mean, so much of that stuff is cheaply made. Not that the good pieces aren't still available.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they were more readily available back then, and more scouts lost them, and that's why people still run across them now, even today, detecting. And yep. they're nice ones to make, they're nice ones to find, they're put on display, be proud of.
the early neckerchief slides. If you take a look, you know you got an early one if it has on the backside a steel band and a heavy metal slide. You got the early ones. Mm-hmm. The later ones that came out they're aluminum, and they have a pair of tabs on the back that you bend in and put on your slide. And
right.
The early ones are cool. And then some of them, they had a series. I've got one or two of them. Two of them I found. One Statue of Liberty, and the other was...
Yeah.
What was the other one? It was a series. Meh. It escapes
me. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though, because those Arm of Liberty slides, those were from when the scouts were doing a fundraiser to help aid in restoration efforts for the Statue of Liberty. And they even went through and sold a number of 6-foot-tall Statues of Liberty during that time frame. And I want to say, not only did they have a version of that slide for the Boy Scouts and for the Cub Scouts, they also had tokens too.
Yeah, and welcome to Down East Detecting. They just came on board here. Detecting and
Yeah, it's Bob.
Yep.
Well, so, good to see Bob in.
Yeah, we got Neo Geo in. We got a lot of good group in tonight.
Yeah. And it's been a while since I've looked at that. I know I've got one of those Arm of Liberty slides. Mine was the Boy Scout version. And I want to say those date back to the 30s, maybe somewhere between the 20s and 40s. It's a big rectangular slide.
That's a neat one.
Yeah. They really are. I mean, I've seen some found that they came out of the ground kind of rough, but others have came out of the ground very nice. Fortunately, mine cleaned up very nicely. Some of them not so much, but they're still very, very cool to find.
Yes, I like that stuff. They ring up nicely on every machine.
Oh yeah, they do. You get your coil over it, it doesn't matter what machine you got, you're not going to miss it.
Yep. So
those things are a slamming signal.
Right.
And you're right. They did have a few different, a couple of different other series. And I remember them. I can kind of see them, but right off the top of my head, I can't recall what they were named or anything like that. But they were done in that same style as that Arm of Liberty slide. A lot of them that I've seen.
Yep.
And they're actually, I'm not going to say they're the rarest, but they are somewhat rare. At least they're more rare than the slides you see today.
Right. The standard ones. And I've seen the Philmont slides that they had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they're neat. In fact, I've got a couple of those, but I didn't find them. We went there twice. And pretty neat. Philmont's still a great place.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Looks like Down East Detecting says he's going to be out swinging soon.
Good. I'll send you some warm weather, but it's windy.
And some rain.
Yeah, there's rain falling and much needed. We don't need flooding, but there's no snowpack in Minnesota, Wisconsin. It's gone. And the river may nudge here. It's low.
It's those unseasonable highs that we've been having. And even here, I mean, it is, it's kind of dry, and we've got storms coming too, obviously, because they're going to hit you first, but we need it too. We can use a little bit of it too.
So we'll see what happens with that. Needed to get out. The fields are still huntable. They haven't started plowing. Well, I will take that back. Our potato fields out here, they'd move the planters in and trucks and that. I saw them today. And
So it looks like field season may be over for a little bit.
Ground is warming up. We get some rain a couple more days and we'll be getting those grays. Mushroom season, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is. Things are warming up quickly, and time is just starting to fly. I mean, sitting here in the studio, I've got all sorts of grow lights on behind me because I've probably got 150 tomato plants in here behind me right now.
Cool.
They're big.
Cool.
But it keeps him busy.
And I get up from him, and he'll have over 500 tomato plants. And yeah, easily. And all the area comes and gets them from him. And so, and he does a lot of the old style tomatoes.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Legacy, they call them.
Nice.
And pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. I figured I wanted to get a jump on things this year and have them good and strong by the time we were ready to put them in the ground. And I don't know. I may have gotten a little exuberant with things because some of these plants back here are probably 6-8 inches tall.
Right.
So they're doing good. They're doing real good.
Now, Neo Geo sending us his rain from San Diego. I saw pictures from San Diego. That looked like a mess.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't need any more. I mean, they were flooding.
That's right.
Send some of it to Texas and Oklahoma.
He ought to be out looking for gold then. That's the kind of rain.
Yeah, good point.
That's gold mover.
He quite possibly could be too.
Yeah.
I know I would be. Definitely.
Jason said, fruit trees. Yeah, he goes, hell yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It'll be interesting to see with all the rain that hit the West Coast like that, what turns up in terms of gold.
Well, he said there's a lot of erosion out there.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it was. What was that last year? With the erosion and the rains and everything, I mean, they were finding gold in places that they hadn't even realized it was there.
Yep. It takes Mother Nature to move it, and she's been kicking California's backside, so.
Yeah.
Guess
somebody's got to get a message to Mother Nature. She's a little confused.
Yeah. So, well, buddy, I'll tell you what. I'm back out of here. I'm going to go put my feet up, probably pass out because we got banged out at 2:30 this morning and then again today a couple times. So I'm just going to go put my feet up and call it a day.
Yeah, it's been a long day here, too. I think I'm going to do the same. But thanks for sharing some more information on that 8-inch coil and how those targets were bringing up.
And Frank backs me up on that, and Dennis does, too. It's good coil if you're running the manticore. But don't overlook, if you're running a 900 or 800, that's 6-inch either, or any other small coil for any brand, not just two. I saw some tests. They're all pretty much coming up with the same depth as their big coils. It's just you're losing that coverage. They've improved these coils for years. Yes, very much. And
like I said, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily depth. It's a game of separation.
That's right. That's right. Just remember, when you're taking off with it, slow that swing speed down.
Right. Yeah. Smaller coil. There's a lot of information it's trying to process.
Kevin's telling them the 6-inch for the 900 is amazing. The 8-inch is doing well on the Manticore, and I've had the 6-inch on the 900 and the 800. Liked it very much. Ooh, Mike's talking about bonus prizes. Nice. What are you giving out, Mike? March 6th. 6 to 9 surprise contest. Winner takes a Standing Liberty quarter. Easy to enter. I hope you're paying attention to the chat. And Mike Lockwood, yep, some more goodies.
Yep. You got to pay attention, though. You got to be a member of Metal Detecting Central Illinois, and you got to be watching the group, because this contest will only run for 3 hours.
Yep. And you know, that's a good group to become a member of. Great folks, all of them.
It has just blown up. I can remember when they probably had less than 700 members, and now they're over 2,500.
Yep, it's still growing and growing.
Crazy.
And I appreciate, Mike always gives me a little boost on the page. We appreciate that. So I've try to get him stuff to give away, and I think he's due for some more, but I don't know what he wants. So I got to get into the swag pack. If I get it.
Yeah, we do try to make sure and continue to give you a boost over there. Obviously, you are an approved dealer for the group. Recommended dealer for the group.
I'm laughing at Mike. He says he's the only worm in that site's apple. So Neo Geo's asking, how do you enter? So Michael, explain it on there. Pay attention to your chat. And I thank you all. I'm going to get out of here. Have a great night. And I hope it stays quiet tonight for a change. Thanks for having me on, Josh.
All right. Well, I guess go kick back and relax and catch up on some much needed rest, I'm sure.
Yeah. Neo Geo, have a great one. Dennis.
Sounds like the thing to do.
Yes, sir, it does. We'll be chatting later. See you on the next go around, folks.
All right. We'll see you, Chuck. Have a wonderful night. All right. So, yeah, I got to hear a little more about that 8-inch coil, and I'll tell you what, it's sounding good. Sounding good. Obviously, like Mike said, keep an eye on the group. There's a surprise contest coming on the 6th. I want to say that's from that may be like 6 to 9 Central Time. It will only run for 3 hours. So you're going to have to keep an eye out for that. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, there is still time. If you have not got yourself entered into the Silver Stack giveaway, you can go over and get yourself entered right here on the Beyond Sight and Sound channel. Just check out the lives. Look for the 225-24 launch of the Silver Stack live stream, and you can't miss it. The thumbnail has the coins showing. You can leave your comment right there. Comment whatever you would like. Just make sure that it does contain the phrase Silver Stack. That's kind of the only prerequisite. You know, not saying you have to be subscribed to the channel or anything like that, but that is basically the only prerequisite. That, and like I said, we'll let that go up until the 9th, and then we'll no longer accept entries, and that winner will be announced on the 10th. You must be listening live, or I will go to the next person. I know, it's a buzzkill sometimes, it is. But that's the way we're going to run this one. So there you have it. We got to roll, folks. Have a wonderful evening.
We sure are glad you found us here tonight. Thanks for dropping by and joining in. If you like metal detecting, treasure hunting, gold prospecting, or even entertaining discussion, check us out Wednesdays and Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern, on your favorite podcast distribution services.